Golf Smarter Premium number 510, published on October 13, 2015.
This episode of Golf Smarter is brought to you by Harry's, for guys like you who want a great shave experience for a fraction of what you're paying now. Go to harrys.com and get $5 off your first purchase by entering the code GOLFSMARTER when you check out.
Taking one shot at a time. That's easy to think, but it's much harder to do. With Jim Venetis.
This is Golf Smarter Premium. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome back to the Golf Smarter Podcast, Jim.
Hey, Fred.
We're starting to poop out here. This is our fourth consecutive episode that we're doing together. And I appreciate you doing this for me to help me get through my recovery.
It's my pleasure. We're becoming friends.
Yeah, that's what I feel like, too. That's why I was asking, like, where in Southern California? So when I drive to Palm Springs, I can come down and visit. Yeah, I'm planning a trip in, I think in February I might be going down. Anyway, what I wanted to say was something. I have no idea what it was. Okay, the brain's going to mush.
That is a curveball.
Yeah, that, yeah. What, you ask me. No. No, don't do that because I don't want to be put on the spot. All right, so stillness. We keep talking about what you've been talking about, and this is not the last time you're going to be on the podcast. No, 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 no. You'll be back, but there'll be a couple of other people in between from here on out. But stillness, body stillness is what we continue to talk about. Holding, keeping your body still, keeping it quiet, minimizing the amount of movement going on, so that you have less things that can go wrong. Am I interpreting your teachings correct?
Bingo, right? Makes sense, right? Wouldn't you want to be able to swing that way?
Yes. I want to talk about stillness in your mind.
Hmm. Well, that's a good one. You know, I remember being a high school golfer, you know, a good high school player that could shoot under par, but also would shoot over par. And I remember being told that you have to play one shot at a time. And I remember that being very difficult. It was a very difficult concept to even kind of conceive of because the game is so slow. And to really break it down to one shot at a time seems like something very difficult to do at the time. But by college, like I told you in our first podcast, you know, I had the luxury and the privilege of being taught by a guy who was a PGA Tour player. And what he taught me and a good friend of mine was visualization and imagery. And that helped to reduce the thoughts in my mind so that I can just focus on one shot at a time.
Oh,
and that's really all it comes down to. A still mind in golf is just about playing each shot one shot at a time. So often people say, oh, I hope I break 90 today. That's way too far ahead of the game. You literally have to focus on putting the peg in the ground on the first tee and hitting that first shot and not even thinking about the second one. Don't walk up to a tee box and say, I hope I make par or birdie. Instead, you got to focus on the shot that's going to allow you to make par or birdie. So once you can kind of, I tell my best students when they're playing high pressure golf, you know, that are playing high level competitive golf, get intimate with the shot. You know, really, really peer into the shot, really know what it is that you're doing so that you almost become obsessed with each shot. That obsession starts to quiet the mind because now you're not thinking about other stuff. You're just thinking about the shot that you're going to play. And that's where, you know, remember I said mind, body, soul, the balance of mind, body, and soul is really important. So if you can have a quiet mind, that's great. But then you also need a quiet body so that that quiet mind can manifest those great shots. So that's where it's, you know, stillness is so important physically. And I think that the stillness physically helps to breed a stiller mind because you have less thoughts in your head to begin with. You're just focused on stillness as a swing thought. So now you can really, you know, take the shot for granted, look down the fairway and say, okay, this is a par five. It's a three shot hole. I see the trouble down the right side, so I'm going to play up the left. You know, and then you go ahead and execute it. And whether or not you do it or you don't, treat the next shot in the same way. And I think that makes the game really fun. You know, each hole, shot for shot, really embrace each shot.
And then letting go of the ones that you, does that make it easier to let go of the bad ones?
I would think so. And here's an interesting perspective, right? You know, Hogan used to talk about he only hit a few great shots in each round. Right. And I understand that. You know, I have a lot of really good misses that are not precise shots, not exactly what I wanted to produce, but really good misses that allow me to, you know, break par. But if you can hit one good shot on a hole, it most often creates pars. If you hit two good shots on a hole, you're going to make birdie. So you realize you don't have to hit four perfect shots to make a par on a par four. You just hit one good shot. If you hit a good drive, now you can hit a kind of a poor approach shot 30, 40, 50 feet from the pin and two putt and you make your par. You hit a bad drive, you hit a good approach shot, now you two putt and make your par. You know, hit a bad drive, bad approach shot, hit a good chip, now you just make the putt for par. You know, so really it only requires one good shot. So I think the best players don't overreact to their misses. You know, if you watch old footage of Nicklaus, he missed a lot of shots. He hit a lot of hooks. Didn't hit a lot of slices, but he hit a lot of hooks. And he just embrace it. Go find it, hit it again, hit a good shot, make birdies, you know? Hmm. So it's part of, I think golf is a really great game to teach you to teach you acceptance, to teach you patience, you know, to teach you to trust in yourself and not get ahead of yourself, to stay present.
Yeah. Well, when you mentioned that when you were in high school and they told you take one shot at a time and you were having really struggling to grasp that concept, I wanted to stop you, but you kind of answered. I want to stop you and say, okay, now with a mature adult with gray hair coming out of your face, what do you think of that now? I mean, does it now make sense?
Oh yeah. It was something that, you know, by college I was able to do, you know, I continued to play more competitive golf, it just became a necessity. The game forces you to be present. If you're going to play good, if you're going to shoot under par, you have to get present. So, you know, if you're a bunch under par or if you're having your career round, how often does it happen? The guy's having his career round and he finishes double, triple, double. And he's like, oh God, I shot 80 and I was about to shoot even par. Well,
it's because he looked at his scorecard in the 16th or 17th hole and said, all I need to do is kiss of death, right?
Exactly.
You look at your scorecard and say, here's what I need to do. And you can't do that.
No,
it doesn't
you can't.
Work.
So let's cut that statement down. You can look at your scorecard, but you can't try and anticipate the complete holes that you're going to play. Look at your scorecard, know where you're at, and then go back to embracing shot for shot, because that's what got you there. You know, that's what got you to the point where you're even par through 15. So just trust in what's brought you there and allow that to carry you home instead of thinking, oh gosh, if I make birdie, I'm going to shoot under par. Just play it one shot at a time.
So we talked about stillness in the body. We talked about stillness in the mind, and taking it shot to shot by shot by shot. Where does that fall in course management during your round, or what I like to call golf smarter?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's like I keep saying, it's not just the name of the podcast. It's the way I play golf. I mean, I tried to do that. My number one line I've said forever here, because a listener told me this, his dad used to tell him, never follow a bad shot with a stupid shot.
Yeah.
Right.
That's very true. And so I teach one swing for everybody. It's a universal swing. It fits everybody. I've never had a student not be able to do it. Now, where the player becomes different, I think, is in how they choose to play the game. And I think that's a really important part of it, is know thyself. You know, I was a philosophy major in college because they talked about know thyself. And I thought, well, if I knew who I was as a golfer, I would be a better golfer. And so I, as a golfer, I'm an aggressive golfer. If I come across a par five, I'm going to try and reach it in two. If I have any kind of a decent opening in some trees, I'm going to try and hit through some very small holes in trees. I play aggressively. So that means I live and die by the sword that way. I always play aggressively. Now, if you know thyself, if you know yourself as a player, then you should play according to your personality. So if you're conservative, If your daily life, you like to be conservative, that's where you feel most comfortable, then you should play conservatively on the course, because you're going to be playing in your own persona, you know, where you feel most comfortable in general in life. If you're more aggressive, then play more aggressive. Bernard Langer is famous for chipping out where another player like Phil Mickelson will go for it. Both are correct, because Bernard Langer always chips out. Phil Mickelson always goes for it. And so consequently, they both are going to have the pluses and minuses that come with that. But don't switch. Don't play aggressive one day and then conservative the next day and go back and forth, because you're going to miss the pluses. You have the chance of missing the pluses that can help balance out the minuses.
Did you? I wrote this down. Did you? Question mark. You're a philosophy major. You didn't know thyself. Did you learn to make you a better golfer through that major?
I definitely learned that you never really get to a point where you know thyself. Uh-huh. But by being introspective, you know, by just being thoughtful, I think that gives you a chance to be the most present that you can be. And so then you're going to naturally make certain decisions that fall in line with that in all walks of life. But, you know, we're talking about golf here. I think it really comes down to being consistent about how you want to play. You know, like the pros always say, you know, I got a game plan and I'm going to stick to it. That's why they're pros, because they have a game plan and they stick to it. And it doesn't matter if they make some bogeys that they didn't anticipate, they stick with their game plan. And that's really important. It's because that game plan is the one that's going to get them the best result, regardless of what happens in the duration of the round. So it's a fun thing for all golfers to do. You know, learn yourself. Know what shots you have. If you have a lock on 100-yard wedges, then make sure you leave yourself a lot of 100-yard wedges. If you're really good with chips, and, you know, bump and runs and pitches from around the green, then make sure you don't leave yourself flop shots. You know, often golfers will say, oh, I putted terrible today. Well, the first thing I ask them is, well, what kind of putts did you leave yourself? If you leave yourself a lot of downhillers, then you're going to probably three putt a lot. If you leave yourself a lot of uphillers, you're probably going to make a lot of putts. So the same comes true with knowing yourself as a player. You know, if you don't hit three wood good, then don't hit it from the fairway, even if it seems like you should. Play a club that you know you can hit well, and then when you go to the range later, work on three wood and try and get to the point where you can own your three wood. But while you're playing, know yourself. Know what shots you have in your bag, and then stick to those shots.
Is there a value of going to the range after your round?
Ooh, I think so. I think that's one of the luxuries. I think that's why pros get so good. Because pros are so dedicated that they practice before, then they play, and then they practice after. Even if it's a tournament or non-tournament, you know, that's I think it's a great way to reflect on some of the things that you may have been struggling with or some of the things that you were doing really well. And you can either correct the mistakes or you can ingrain what you're experiencing that was really good out there. And, you know, it's a luxury, too, you know.
Yeah, it is. I mean, like, that's great for those guys because that's their job, but it's not ours, right? And so we set aside time to get to the range ahead of our round just to warm up, not practice, not, you know, not doing a you know, it's not a practice session. It's a warm-up session, very different thing. Right. But most of us are like working on things because that's the only time of the week we get to go to the range, which is right before our round. So right. If your student was to say to you, you know, I just only have enough time. It's hard enough to get a time to get a round in. But if I only had time to get a round in and some a bucket of balls, where would you tell me, should I hit them before the range, before my round or after my round?
Actually, I think it requires a broader perspective than that. And that kind of brings us back to seasonal golfers and the benefit of seasonal golfers, you know, which you might think would be a bad thing. Seasonal golfers get to really practice a lot during the winter if they have an indoor facility. You know, there's not a lot of playing that's going to occur, but there can be a lot of ball striking that occurs. And I have a great student that is such a great example of this, Mark from Pittsburgh. I can't tell you, he's a great athlete, went to University of North Carolina, threw the javelin there. He's probably in his 60s and just a super athlete, but he's always struggled with golf. And we started working together at the beginning of last fall. And so we basically did all our work over the winter. He's in Pennsylvania. So it's all winter practice. And it was always an indoor facility that he's sending me his stuff from. And I tell you, because he took that time to focus on developing the swing, he's got a lock on it all spring, summer, and fall. He was a 10, 12, 14 handicap that is sending me texts telling me he's shooting even par or a couple over par, and he's winning his leagues, and he's so excited, and he's just, you know, he's just so chuffed from being able to experience the value of this swing. But as I reflect back, I think it's really important that he just dedicated 6 months to working on developing the swing. So when you say, should you hit a bucket before you play, after you play, really, you know, if all you have is 4 hours to play, take a few weeks to develop your swing in those 4 hours, because you're going to hit a lot more balls in the range than you are out on the course. And that's going to give you a chance to develop your action. Once you develop your action, then take it to the course. And then at that point, yes, you want to warm up before the round, and then you play. And if you have the luxury, if you have the time afterwards, then sure, try and hit a few balls afterwards. But I really think that people rush to the course too quickly without having a skill set. You know, develop some shots. Know that you can hit a solid draw with all your clubs in the bag. Know that you can hit a solid bump and run and a pitch shot. Know that you can make three-foot putts consistently. And then go to the range. And then, you know, the experience on the course, I think, becomes so much better because you actually have a skill. You have skills.
Interesting. Oh, well, again, thank you so much for allowing me to pick your brain for this many episodes in one sitting. Hopefully by now I'm back swinging a golf club at full strength, and I can report back to you and send you more video, because I want to make this work, because I think it makes a lot of sense. And as I get older, I want to move less and hit better.
Yes. So this is what I want you to do. This time now, while you're going through recovering from your injury, it's all about the setup. I want you to look in a mirror and try and mimic my setup position. And like you talked about earlier, it's about having the lead leg bent more than the rear leg. Both legs are bent, but the lead leg is probably bent 2 to 3 times as much as the rear leg, and that's because it's supporting the weight. So if you can establish the setup position, I think by the time that this comes out, you're going to be looking at some really tight draws.
Awesome. Well, I got to stop walking with a cane first.
Oh.
Uh-huh. Should I just walk with a putter?
It's a good way to bond with it.
Yeah, exactly. All right, Jim. Again, jimvenettisgolfacademy.com. If you've just listened to the last 4 episodes with Jim and I having too much fun and you're not absolutely convinced, then we're going to have somebody on next week. Just stay tuned to more Golf Smarter podcast. But Jim, thanks again. I've really enjoyed it, and safe driving, my friend.
Thank you, Fred. Stay still.
Oh, thank you. You know, I had elementary school teachers who told me the same thing, and it didn't work for them. So I'm working on it. I want to thank all of you for your patience as I've gone through my recovery and rehab. I hope you've enjoyed these 5 of the last 6 episodes with Jim. Last week, I sent him some video of my setup position that I've been working on as I recover, and he sent me his video feedback. Those 2 videos, and I just sent him another one yesterday, and I've not gotten his feedback yet. But when I do, like the other 2, I'll put them up on the blog at golfsmarter.com. They can also be found as bonus material on the free Golf Smarter app. Now, let me reiterate that if his method intrigues you at all, you really owe it to yourself to see the short videos at youtube.com/golfsmartertv. I'm very excited to announce that this past weekend, I finally got to go to the driving range for the first time to start putting his lessons into effect. And between what I've been listening and talking to him and the videos and his video feedback, I've really learned a lot and am really impressed with what he's teaching. So check out those little extras and you can see for yourself if you want to follow him up a little bit more. Now that I'm stronger and hiking hills again, I'm not only ready to get back on the course, but I'm also very confident about completing the walk to end Alzheimer's on October 24th in Washington, D.C., Currently, more than 5 million Americans have Alzheimer's, and that number is expected to grow as many as 16 million by 2050. To be one of my event sponsors by making a tax-deductible donation, and thanks to you who have done that so far, I'll put a link in today's show notes so that all you have to do is click on the link and follow the prompts. Show notes will be at golfsmarter.com or on the free Golf Smarter app. Any amount you can donate is greatly appreciated. Thank you so much for your help and continued support. Now, remember, what you're about to hear is the audio from the latest video provided by Jim. Just sent it this morning. JimVenetisGolfAcademy.com. Venetis is V as in Victor, E-N-E-T as in Tom, O-S. JimVenetisGolfAcademy.com. Now, we're going to flesh out that concept of how to take one shot at a time.
Visualization and imagery is a really important part of the game. It's a very advanced part of the game, but I talk about how it's important to have a balanced game of mind, body, and soul. Well, visualization falls into the category of soul. The ability to be creative, the ability to see the shot before you hit it, the ability to feel the shot before you hit it, and take the opportunity to try and incorporate that into your game, because it's kind of amazing how the results tend to replicate what you see in your mind if you truly see it. It's those times where you hit a shot and you know you're going to hit it good. You can kind of feel it and see it, and then you actually do it, and you can say to your playing partners, I knew I was going to hit that one good, or I knew I was going to make that putt. That happens more times than not with great players. Great players get that feeling that they're going to make the putt or hit the shot often. Well, it's because they train themselves to use visualization and imagery in order to focus in on the result of the shot. Now, this is something that can be done from the expert level all the way down to the beginner level. At the beginner level, you want to start with, like, on the green. See the ball rolling into the hole. And see if you can't envision it before it happens. Now, you don't want to take too much time. This isn't about slowing down play. But as you're standing behind the ball and maybe your playing partner is putting, you can start to see your ball rolling in the hole, as opposed to just staring blindly at the trees or at the distance. Instead, you could see the ball rolling into the hole and watch how the results don't start to match up to what you're seeing in your head. And then as that progresses, you can then start to see shots on from off the green or maybe long game shots. You know, that's what pros are doing. When you watch Jason Day play, he stands behind the ball and he's seeing the shot in his mind, and then he closes his eyes so he can see it even clearer in his mind. And I tell you, playing as much competitive golf as I have, there are so many times where I see the shot before it happens, and then it happens. It's a way of using, it's like putting all hands on deck when you're going to hit a golf shot. Instead of just relying upon your ability to hit the shot, why not focus in with your mind and take the opportunity to see the shot before it happens? Now, it doesn't always work out the way you see it, but I'll tell you this, more times than not, you're gonna play better and hit better shots if you see the shot before you hit it.